Well, welcome to the first official Constant Geekery podcast. Now, of course, we have done a pilot episode, haven't we, Pete?
We have indeed.
Which a few of you watched, and that was enough motivation for us to decide to do this as a regular feature. So we're going to bring you tech news each week in a podcast of roughly 30 minutes. Although we have been known to waffle, Pete.
Speak for yourself. I'm always pithy and to the point.
You're something close to that, yeah. I think last time we aimed to be 30 minutes, it ended up being about an hour and 7 minutes. So
this isn't helping, is it?
It's not, no. So here's the format. We're basically recording live. We don't want to do loads of video editing or anything like that. So we record the podcast live and we'll put it straight up. It will go onto YouTube and onto Spotify and other places.
Warts and all. Warts and all.
Warts and all, including this moment where I've got to keep the TV switched on. So our weekly tech news topic for today is NVIDIA's acquisition of ARM. Now, you might be thinking, hang on a minute, that happened, you know, weeks ago. That was mid-September when they announced that.
No, it didn't. No, they just announced it, like you said.
Yeah, that's it. And actually, it's in the news again today because lots of people are concerned about this deal and for many different reasons. So we're going to talk about some of those reasons today. But one of the main things that we want to get to is what does it mean for Apple Silicon?
Yeah, because obviously Apple Silicon is using some of ARM's technology. It's not an ARM chip. That's important to say, but they're using some of their technology. So what's the impact going to be on this amazing new silicon we're so excited to see?
Yes, good. So just to clarify, if you're new to the channel and you're not sure about that statement, because everybody does refer to Apple Silicon as ARM, it's a custom chip that Apple have designed, but it uses the ARM architecture. But it's not a standard ARM chip design, such as you might find in a Samsung mobile.
No, so, completely custom.
Yeah, so it's an exciting change for Apple, but obviously Apple have made this announcement, and very shortly after, NVIDIA announces that it's acquiring ARM from SoftBank. So let's just talk about the deal, first of all, before we talk about the issues with it and what we think about it. So the headline is that NVIDIA are paying $40 billion for ARM.
Yeah, which on the surface of it sounds good, because I think they acquired ARM back in 2016 for $31.4 billion. So it sounds like a nice tidy sum they've made there.
It does. So we're talking about SoftBank, which is a Japanese investment house of some description. I don't know all the details. I do remember SoftBank acquiring ARM because I had shares in ARM and they went up quite a lot overnight. Which was nice. And I sold them, and I wish I hadn't.
I don't know a lot about SoftBank. I did read an article on their involvement with WeWork, and I don't think that investment went particularly well, but we're not experts in that kind of area, so that's as much as I know.
No, and we'll come back to that point. So it on the surface of it, it looks like, hang on, SoftBank bought ARM for $31.4 billion in 2016. 4 years later, they're selling it for $40 billion. That's $8.6 billion profit. Great, great piece of business. It's just not that straightforward. It doesn't work that way. The $40 billion that gets quoted is contingent on a number of things. It may end up being as much as that, but SoftBank won't necessarily get all of that. And there are also share issues involved. When SoftBank acquired ARM, there were share stock issues involved as well. So those relative stocks change in value. So the net result is actually SoftBank haven't done very well out of ARM. And ARM's co-founder, Tudor Brown, he actually went so far as to suggest that their investment strategy hadn't been that good and that they'd focused in the wrong areas when it came to ARM.
Yeah.
So he's of the opinion that they didn't get the return that they wanted. And that ties in then to what you were just saying about their investment in WeWork, which I know nothing about.
But yeah, so I don't know a huge amount about it, but I know that they've been ploughing a lot of money into the office-based company WeWork, buying up lots of property, and I know that got into difficulties, and I must admit I haven't checked the final outcome of that, but I don't think it went well. So they're probably in need of just reassessing their assets at the moment. Again, we're not experts in this area, so that's about as much as I can say.
Yeah, I don't think that's any great secret. That's been in the news that SoftBank need to get rid of this. They need the money. What some people miss, though, is if you check the original NVIDIA press release for this acquisition, it does say that the deal is likely to take 18 months to complete.
Wow. almost as long as getting Hermes parcel delivered.
Yeah, that's assuming Hermes actually deliver the parcel at some point.
That is a fair point, whereas this deal is likely to go through.
Mm. So that's the deal. Let's just talk about what NVIDIA have promised to do, because these promises are in their press release and they are important to the conversation that we're about to have. So first of all, they promised to keep Arm headquartered in the UK, and they've promised to invest in that site up in Cambridge. They've promised money for research and development. They've promised to invest in the UK workforce. And they've also said that they're committed to retaining the open licensing model. So,
all sounds quite good.
All sounds good on the surface of it, yeah. So why the concerns? So let's start with Herman Hauser.
Who's Herman Hauser? It sounds like a comic book villain.
He's not a villain. He's a great guy.
What a great name, Herman Hauser.
Yeah. He set up, along with Chris Curry, simplifying the story, but Herman Hauser was an original founder of Acorn Computers.
Oh, okay. So I take back what I said about comic book villain. Absolutely great guy.
Yeah, those were good computers. I mean, outside of the UK, you might not be familiar with Acorn. So I think they are more widely known, but that's mainly thanks to YouTube. But certainly in the States, you know, Acorn didn't really sell many computers. They tried. They didn't get very far with it. But children of a certain age, or people of a certain age in this country, will of course remember using Acorn computers at school, because Acorn won the BBC contract for the computer literacy project. So they were selling BBC branded computer systems that went along with the TV series, and then schools got incentivized to buy these computers. Later on, what happened was Acorn was struggling with the MOS chip that was in the BBC, and they wanted to expand and do more with it. They couldn't find the chip that did everything they wanted, so they just designed their own.
Hmm.
And hence the Acorn RISC machine chip was born, or ARM. Now, very quickly, within a year, that technology got siphoned off into another company, and Herman Hauser was, again, one of the co-founders of ARM Holdings, which then later became, it stood for Advanced RISC Machines.
Yeah, instead of Acorn RISC Machines.
That's it.
Yeah.
So just a little bit of history there. I know many people who watch the channel will already know this stuff, but some of you may not know that. So this probably helps you to understand the emotion that's involved when people are talking about ARM leaving the UK or becoming owned by a non-UK company, which it already is, you know. SoftBank is Japanese, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Yeah. Anyway, coming back to Herman Hauser. So he's been quite outspoken about this. And he believes that the UK government should block the deal.
Really?
Yeah.
What's his concerns?
So, basically two things. I'll take the second one that I've written down first, which is the potential for the US government to block companies using ARM and exporting ARM technology to other parts of the world.
Okay.
So, I guess that is a real concern. You know, if the US government suddenly says, well, we're not selling technology to China, for example, then you could have a situation where a British or European or Australian company who's put a load of investment into ARM finds they can't now export into China because of this restriction that the US government has put in place.
Yeah.
Now, I guess it's a fair argument, but then at the end of the day, what's to stop the UK government doing exactly the same thing?
Well, so, nothing.
Yeah, exactly. So, I don't know. The other thing that he's concerned about is taxes.
Okay.
And I think it's fairly evident that Mr. Hauser doesn't trust NVIDIA.
What makes you say that?
Well, he's been quite outspoken about it. I'm just trying to find the page with his quote on now. So after saying that we would record out all of this live, we just have cut out a little bit there because I forgot that the quote from Herman Hauser was open on my phone, not on my laptop.
When we said warts and all, there are some warts we're editing for your viewing comfort.
That's it. Right, so here it is, okay. This is what Herman Hauser has said. He's written an open letter to the Prime Minister urging him to intervene in the deal. He said, if ARM becomes a division of NVIDIA, the accounts will be consolidated and they'll play the usual tricks of all the tax transfer and the tax loopholes that all the big American companies are playing. Whether that's accurate or not, I don't know. He's painting with a very wide brush there.
That is a huge brush, but we certainly know some American tech companies are a little bit clever at how they pay tax.
Yeah, but let's not limit this to Americans. Tax avoidance is hardly is a global problem.
Absolutely.
Not, you know. Anyway, what he said, and I quote, "I'm not accusing them of doing anything illegal. I'm just accusing them of being unethical and immoral."
That man does not mince his words, does he?
Doesn't. I'm quoting that from an article I found on This Is Money. So I don't know how accurate that is. Yeah. They also said that analysis by the think tank TaxWatch found that NVIDIA paid taxes worth just 3% of the $6.15 billion in profits it's made overseas since 2015.
Yeah.
That's... I'd quite like a 3% tax rate, wouldn't you, Pete?
Well, wouldn't we all?
Whereas Arm paid £268 million in tax last year, most of that in the UK. So being a UK business, Arm pays tax. Obviously, if NVIDIA took hold of Arm, took control and moved it back to the States, or, you know, moved the financials around the world in creative ways, then the UK government misses out on a whole bunch of tax revenue.
Yeah.
So I would have thought that would be sufficient incentive for them to look into the deal, if nothing else.
We'll just have to wait and see, I guess, on that.
Yeah, but, you know, the UK had the option to intervene when SoftBank bought Arm, and they didn't do so. A lot of people disagreed with that, you know. So it's not likely, I don't think, that the UK government will intervene, but who knows? We'll have to wait and see.
I suppose the moral of the story is, if you want to retain control of how a company is operated and where it pays taxes, you kind of got to stay owning that company. You've got to be in it to win it.
That's it, yeah. If you sell your company, you don't really have much say over it. It's kind of equivalent, I guess, to selling a house and then going back and asking the owners not to put up those yellow curtains.
No, and don't paint it that colour.
Mm. So, not sure about that. What about China? I've seen a quote from a Chinese official. I don't know how accurate this is, but he's indicating that Chinese companies might not be comfortable using Arm if it was owned by the United States.
Okay. So this isn't anything to do with SoftBank, because, as we said, they're Japanese. This feels a bit like retaliation for the Huawei decisions that have been made by the UK and the US.
I would say so, yeah. And I mean, but if that was the case, you know, the UK's also causing problems for Huawei, and has lost them a huge contract in the UK. I don't know if our listeners are familiar with that. Huawei had the 5G contract in this country, which basically been pulled from them, and further, more than that, in fact, all of the telecoms providers have until a certain date, and I can't remember when it is, a few years away, to remove all of Huawei's kit from their from their systems.
So a little bit of geopolitical posturing here.
I think that's all that is, and, you know, again, it doesn't matter who owns it, does it? There'll always be that kind of thing going on. So the third concern is regarding open licensing. So if you want to go and build an ARM chip...
Yeah, which I was planning to do tomorrow.
I imagine you were. And what you would do is you'd obviously probably not give Herman Hauser a tinkle, because he doesn't work there anymore. Or does he? I don't know, actually.
I haven't got his number either, so I wouldn't give him a tinkle, as you say.
A bit of British vernacular there for you.
Tinkle. Phone call.
A phone call, yeah. Well, you would get in touch with Arm anyway, and you would arrange a license, and you would pay a fee up front for that.
I think the expression I'd use these days is I'd probably reach out. Reach out to Arm.
To touch base.
Yeah.
Get your ducks in a row.
Yeah, and maybe get some low-hanging fruit on those sweet, sweet open licenses.
Excellent. So upfront licensing fee, then ongoing royalties based on how many of your thing that you sell that uses their technology. Because Arm doesn't manufacture CPUs.
Yeah.
They don't manufacture anything. They are in the business of selling intellectual property.
So when we say an Arm chip, there is no physical piece of hardware ever made by Arm.
Correct.
And that's something I think a lot of people don't realise. So it is the core of their business model is they're architects. They're not builders of chips.
That's it. So you basically have two things. You've got the instruction set, and you've got the reference designs for CPUs. So the various Cortex designs. I don't know if that Cortex is an ARM brand or whatever, but the standard designs, you know, we're all familiar with them. They appear in all of the smartphones that aren't made by Apple, you know. Qualcomm make a lot of ARM chips. Lots of other people do. You've got the Raspberry Pis, all of those kind of things. Those are all ARM-based standard ARM designs.
Yeah.
So in Apple's case, of course, they've licensed the architecture, not a standard design. They may have in the past licensed a design, but now they make their own designs, from what I understand. So there's a few different ways that you can use ARM, and the fact that Apple can do what they do and modify and extend it is by virtue of this open license.
Okay.
Right. So here's the concern. What if NVIDIA doesn't maintain its commitment to open licensing? What does that then mean for all of these companies?
Because it's true to say, speaking specifically about Apple, Apple and NVIDIA aren't exactly what you would call best pals, are they?
No. So let's focus in then on specifically Apple Silicon. So Apple and NVIDIA, let's start with the driver squabble, shall we? I find this so irritating. So I had a Mac Pro, the old cheese grater, 5.1. Mm-hmm. Nice machine, 12 core Xeon. I put a lot of money into it, upgraded it, and I had an NVIDIA Titan X graphics card in there.
What a bit of a beast.
Yeah, at the time it was top-notch, and I had a dual boot, so you can boot into Windows, play all my games, and get the benefit of that raw performance as well in macOS. Then along came the day where the next operating system came out, and all of a sudden there are no drivers. I didn't realize this at the time, so I upgraded the operating system, and the graphics card is running at a low resolution and very slowly. And there's no NVIDIA drivers. And there's no... The time goes by, weeks and months, and no NVIDIA drivers turn up for this particular... So I guess it's important to say you used to have to download NVIDIA's drivers separately, and they installed separately to the main system drivers. And this is where the squabble comes from. Now, what the way NVIDIA tell it is, Apple won't let us make drivers for their computers.
But that's not strictly true, is it?
Well, it's just not true. Apple would be perfectly happy, I think, for NVIDIA to put their sign up to Apple's scheme. But they need to play by Apple's rules, and NVIDIA don't want to play by Apple's rules.
Okay.
So Apple, and again, I don't have all the details. As far as I'm aware, Apple... builds part of the driver themselves, the bit that goes in the kernel.
Mm-hmm.
And they allow the AMD or whoever to provide the rest of it. But Apple has a measure of control over how that driver is built.
Which is the Apple way, isn't it?
It is the Apple way. But I guess what it means is Apple see the code, and NVIDIA have proprietary code that they don't want to give out. But that's only part of the story. Of course, Apple wants one framework to rule them all, and that is the Metal framework. So even in the latest OS, you've still got OpenGL and OpenCL, but Apple has officially deprecated those. And at some point, they will disappear from the operating system. NVIDIA would favor using OpenCL over Metal, I believe, and also they've got their own proprietary CUDA technology.
Hmm.
And that's what they'd like to push, and they don't particularly want to then change over to Metal. So I think there's a...
It's almost like a philosophical battle going on here, isn't it, between Apple's end-to-end control philosophy and NVIDIA obviously wanting to push their own proprietary technology and other technologies as well to give the user maybe some choice?
Yeah, I guess.
But yeah. In the end, because you can't get NVIDIA drivers for your Mac machines, the person that loses out is the end user.
Yeah, absolutely. And you do lose out. I mean... You know, if you go and buy the latest Mac Pro, you can spec up some pretty cool AMD cards in there. You know, you can even have a 5700 XT, and, you know, that's a great card, but it's not top of the range. It doesn't compete with the top of the range stuff that NVIDIA make.
Assuming you can buy it.
Assuming you can. Yeah, I'm sure lots of Mac Pro owners would love to go out and get a couple of 3090s to slap in their new Mac Pro.
I'm sure a lot of Windows users, PC owners, would like to go and get them. That's for another day.
That is for another day. We'll talk about that another day. Yeah, but you can't do that anyway. So you can't go out and... You can go and spend $40,000 on a Mac Pro, but what you can't do is spend $40,000 on a Mac Pro with an NVIDIA graphics card in.
Whatever. Well, you could. You could do it. But, yeah.
But not if you like the experience where you switch your computer on and it actually turns on.
It'd be like putting a V8 in a Tesla.
Yeah, it's just not... It's never going to work. So we got the driver squabble, and Apple and NVIDIA are doing a bit of posturing on that. Does it really matter to NVIDIA and Apple? I don't think so. NVIDIA sell enough stuff. I mean, they can't even keep up with demand on the PC market, so they don't need to be building chips for Apple, do they?
No. No, so, I think they're doing okay.
Doing okay. So I don't think that's likely to put a spanner in the works. There is, of course, the fact that they both use TSMC, which is the foundry that produces Apple Silicon.
Yeah, I was really surprised when we found that out.
Yeah, I think NVIDIA do use IBM for one or more products, but primarily they're at TSMC. Now, as I understand it, and I could be wrong here, but as I understand it, Apple have been funding TSMC's product improvement. So this new 5-nanometer process that we're going to see in the A14 chip, which is in the new iPad Air, which should be dropping any time, that's on a 5-nanometer process. And as I understand it, Apple helped fund that, so in return they get first dibs on that process for a period of time.
Yeah.
So they get exclusivity. So is that preventing NVIDIA from achieving any of their goals?
Doesn't look like it, does it?
No. No, they're keeping up with demand and there's no problem at all. I've got no idea whether that has anything to do with anything to do with it. I think NVIDIA is problems with the RTX, new RTX cards is just due to bad marketing and management, frankly.
Yeah.
I'm sure they could get them made if they needed to. However, there is a bone of contention there. You know, they're fighting for a finite resource. There aren't many foundries left now globally that are making these kind of products. Apple have obviously bought out a lot of TSMC's availability and will continue to do so in the future. I think most of the arguments stem back to way back, you know, 10 years ago. You remember the MacBook Pro issues?
Oh, the GPU failures. I remember you getting quite frustrated about that, because I seem to remember you had one.
I did. Mine didn't have a problem. I was okay.
Yeah, but you were. It caused you some angst that it might not be.
Yeah. Well, a lot of them failed over time. It was due to a dodgy manufacturing process that caused the failures. The GT8600,
right?
I think. Or 9600, or possibly both. But those were in the MacBook Pro 15 inches, the Core 2 Duo models back then. Apple actually had to extend the warranty by a year, I think, on those particular machines. So
it cost them a bit.
It cost them a lot of money. And, you know, this is exactly the same reason why Apple is dumping Intel.
Hmm.
Because Intel are struggling with their new processes. There's a high failure rate. Apple's engineers have been quite open about the fact that they've been required to do a lot of testing for Intel, which they haven't been happy about.
So they've been doing beta testing for a product that's not quite ready yet.
Mm.
Yeah, I bet that's really annoying.
It is quite annoying when you have to do that.
Can't imagine Apple doing that to their users whatsoever. Here, try this unfinished product and tell us where it doesn't work.
I've done a little bit of Apple beta testing for them.
Yeah, well, if you have an Apple device, you have by default done a bit of Apple beta testing for them.
People will just think we're ragging on Apple and that we don't understand Apple and the other joyous comments that we get. We're not ragging on Apple.
We love Apple.
We like Apple products. We're not fanboys of Apple. We're just realists.
We say it how it is.
That's it. I had the very first Retina 15-inch MacBook Pro, and if you recall, Pete, it had a dodgy screen which was made by LG.
Yeah.
And it had to go back, and it came back with a screen made by Samsung which went wrong. So that went back. It came back with another screen made by Samsung, and guess what? That went wrong as well. So in the end, I went back to the previous generation. So we know what we're talking about here.
This is not our first, you know, set of Apple products. We've been running Apple machines for a long time,
yeah.
And we like them. But we, you know, it's a bit like it's that trusted, I can't think of the analogy, we know their foibles and we like to have a bit of fun with Apple. We like to have a bit of fun with everything, really, and hope that makes some entertainment. But yeah, we do understand.
Yeah. So here's the question then. Will NVIDIA stop Apple from licensing ARM architecture? Will they scupper Apple Silicon?
Well, I'm going to defer to you on this one. What I will say is that, as we said at the beginning, there's 18 months before this deal is expected to be complete. And it's probably just worth mentioning, I mentioned Hermes. And for those in the US, I don't know if you've got Hermes in the US. I don't know if they're a global company, but they're a UK delivery courier company. And their delivery success rate, well, just go on Twitter and then you'll see where the joke works. But yeah, just so you know. But yeah, so we've got 18 months anyway until the deal is expected to be completed. These things are complex. So there's going to be no immediate changes.
No. And I will just say, Pete, that if you've got to explain a joke, it's probably not a very good joke.
I wasn't explaining the joke. I was explaining who Hermes were for those who may not know.
Thanks for the clarification.
But they are really slow. And my joke was about the fact that 18 months is... Oh, I'm explaining the joke now. And
I, do that.
Probably not.
I guess a big telling factor is Apple didn't buy ARM. If ARM was up for sale, don't you think the richest or the most valuable by market capitalization tech company in the world might have had an interest?
Possibly, although, you know, Tim's got to think about his pension.
He has got to think about that. But
No, that's a really interesting insight, isn't it? It's not that they could have easily afforded to buy ARM. And they've had strong connections with ARM throughout their life, haven't they?
They have. So if you go back to mid-90s, early 90s, Apple were equal shareholders in ARM with Acorn. They each had 43%. I can't remember where I read that, but and I don't know why that changed. But nonetheless, Apple were very interested in ARM back in the early 90s, and they were using it, of course, for their Newton products. So they know the architecture. They've been working with it for the best part of three decades. They're interested in it. They're interested in the company. They know what they're doing with it. It comes up for sale. You know, it's no secret that SoftBank wanted to offload ARM. If Apple was concerned, they would have bought it, surely.
Makes sense. So that suggests that they're not concerned.
That's what I read from it. And let's be honest here. Do we honestly think that Apple's legal team, which must be a large legal team, didn't, you know, dot the I's and cross the T's on their contract with ARM? You know, that must extend some way into the future, and it's not like NVIDIA can come in and retroactively change all of that.
No, it's in writing, it's set in stone, really.
Yeah. So, and it could well be that, you know, Apple doesn't maybe want to pay royalties to ARM. Maybe they've got another transition planned in the future where they go to their own architecture. Who knows? I don't think they're concerned, though. I think NVIDIA would be up for all sorts of trouble with various governments around the world if they blocked Apple from using the ARM architecture, or indeed anybody. So I guess we just need to conclude this by asking the question, is it a good thing that NVIDIA is buying ARM?
Well, I've got a view on that, and I'll put it to you, and you tell me what you think. I think it might be, notwithstanding, you know, we've established that Apple Silicon probably isn't a worry. The two businesses have very different models. Sometimes you see two businesses merge or one gets acquired by the other. An example would be HP and Compaq doing very similar things. So you kind of think one brand is going to disappear because they'll be treading on each other's toes. And that's kind of what happened. ARM and NVIDIA have very different customers, very different businesses. As we've said, ARM license chips. NVIDIA builds them. We know them, probably most of us know them, because of their graphics cards. They're the GeForce people. But they also, you know, they're heavy into AI. They're into system-on-chips in terms of embedded systems. They're also in data centers. So they've got a much more diverse range of product than we're perhaps immediately aware of. But the two aren't contrary. They're complementary. So I could see some good things coming out of that amalgam.
Okay.
That's my take.
Yeah, and I for all of those same reasons, I think it's a bad thing.
Do you?
Yeah.
Spill the beans.
So, well, I think the fact that Arm is a designer, and it's got planes flying overhead at the moment. I don't know if you can hear that on the microphone.
It's probably a Spitfire. It sounds like a Spitfire.
We're actually quite close to a naval air base here, and they test helicopters which are manufactured nearby. So we do get a lot of air traffic overhead. Getting back to this, what we're supposed to be talking about, the fact that Arm is separate and they're just designing things and selling that intellectual property, I think that's a good thing. I think it's good that a small company somewhere can step up and innovate and have access to Arm technology and Arm licensing and can do interesting things. And a lot of companies are doing that. The idea that it then becomes owned by a company that is actually manufacturing silicon and taking it to market, I think it just blurs those lines. It's very difficult to be altruistic when you're tasked with making a profit for your shareholders.
Hmm.
And whilst Arm is, you know, is a profit-making business as well, I just feel that it blurs the lines too much and it puts far too much control into NVIDIA's pocket for precisely the reason that they do all of those things. And they've been quite open about the fact they want to build an AI supercomputer, you know, talking about self-driving cars, you know, all sorts of machine learning technology. And these things are exciting and interesting. You know, the fastest supercomputer in the world now does indeed run on Arm technology. So I think that is an area of growth. NVIDIA, of course, is very interested in the compute market. Well, that's what CUDA is all about, using GPUs to do computational tasks. I think they would be able to create a super product by amalgamating the technologies. But who else will be able to do that? Are they going to allow AMD to do the same thing?
That's interesting. Yeah, I hadn't thought of it that way. I guess it depends. They say they're going to keep the open licensing. It's to what extent? And will they bring in stuff they say, well, we do open licensing, but this bit here is proprietary.
Yeah, and what's to stop them, you know, splitting the roadmap? So it's like, okay, this team over here, well, you are working on Arm for the general market. And yeah, this team over here, you're going to take a branch of it and do something interesting. And we'll maybe make this team 10 times larger than that team.
Yeah, and maybe take the best and brightest
from this. And maybe put this team over in the United States and leave this in the UK. I think that's what a lot of people are worried about and why they don't think this is a good idea. I don't want to get political about it at all. It doesn't matter to me where the company is. What matters to me is that it stays true to its original heritage. And for me, it's quite emotive. You know, I grew up with Acorn computers. I think Arm is exciting. I've expressed that in other videos. But I'm equally excited about Apple doing something with Arm, and they're an American company. So there's no issue from that perspective. I would just hate for, you know, people to lose their jobs, or, you know, for Cambridge to lose this jewel in the crown, if you like.
Yeah. No, it would be a shame. And as you say, it would be an awful thing if that work was taken away from people. We all have a living to make. We have families to feed. And we see a lot of this, don't we? We see with companies in all sectors, in all industries, making decisions about where their workforce is based, which has an impact on people's lives. And that's the sad thing, you know, and the innovation as well. I can see why you would say that. So I guess we'll have to watch it, see if the deal finishes, actually gets approved. And maybe in a couple of years, if this podcast goes on that long, maybe in episode, you know, 102, we'll be doing an assessment on this, but we'll have to see.
Look forward to that. We'll see how that goes. So going back to the podcast, so the plan is to do our weekly tech podcast on a Monday. So if you've enjoyed listening to us talk about the important tech news of the week, in our opinion, then come back next week and get another dose, and we'll find something else to talk about.
Probably, I'm really interested to talk about the NVIDIA graphics cards debacle, which we had a bit of a chuckle about. Maybe our listeners might be interested in hearing our thoughts on that.
I think that's probably a good shout. So how about next week we talk about RTX 3080 and 3090?
It will make me very excited.
Excellent. And during the podcast, we might share some other plans we've got as well for future videos. We've got a lot planned, and I think it's fair to say we've been hard at work the last few weeks on other things. So hence the slowdown in production of videos. We're obviously looking forward to the Apple Silicon launching.
Yes.
Still don't know when that's going to be.
With sweaty palms of bated breath.
Yeah. I'm guessing November for that. We'll see. There is, of course, the iPhone launch coming up. I don't expect we'll do much around that because it's not really a massive area of interest for us. We have got some video content coming up on the Apple Watch Series 6. We've been putting together our thoughts on that. So hopefully you'll enjoy that. And many more things to come on the podcast, we hope. So hopefully you enjoyed it. Please subscribe to the channel on YouTube. So youtube.com/constantgeekery. So if you're listening to this podcast not on YouTube, then that's where you can find us and find the rest of the content. Please subscribe. Please give it a thumbs up. We appreciate that. Thank you for your support, and we'll see you next time.
Cheerio.
Is that it? Do we just finish?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. And get some pies.
Pies. I like pies.